Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I think that we get so ingrained in our minds that, athletes are athletes and, the personal lives of athletes is, it's the game first. In a time like this, I mean, we're in a global pandemic, guys, and, there's so much more going on in people's lives. And, just to kind of even speculate on what's happening in either my life, your life, Michael's life, I think that's an unfair thing to do. So, we support Michael and we support all the guys that are opting out. That's a personal choice and they have that right. And we wish them all the best. We wish Michael the best. And we hope that, whenever he does come back, he's ready to go. But for right now, Michael did what's best for Michael. And, I support him fully and 100% in that way.
That's White Sox pitcher Aaron Bummer. He was on Inside the Clubhouse today with Bruce Levine and Zach Zaidman. He's sitting in for Matt Spiegel today. And he was talking about Michael Kopech. That's where we're going to start with our next guest. Our first guest, our only guest. He must not know better on Saturday Suckage. He is Lamont Pope. Lamont Pope of the Chicago Tribune. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Lamont, how you doing today?
I'm doing all right. You sure we're not going to preview the today's inter-squad game? Because I don't know if there's been any other news that's happened over the last 24 hours with the White.
That's right. Who's starting in today's inter-squad game? Today's probables. Let's act like it's baseball. Who are today's probables? Is it Lucas Giolito? He pitches every day, doesn't he?
Can actually get Dylan Cease and Roberto Lopez, Ronaldo Lopez, and so.
Wow, there you go. There's the Rick Hahn trade checklist. That's it. So speaking of the trade, Michael Kopech, do we know anything more? Is he going to make a statement? Has he made a statement? Because we've got information. We've got people speculating, and Aaron Bummer's right. It's not fair, but it's kind of what we do. And part of it is I want to hear his reasoning. I imagine I'll respect it because it's very personal to him. And in these times, it all seems to ring honest, whether you're doing it like Buster Posey. Hey, we just adopted twins. I'm not playing baseball because they're important to me. And whatever Michael Kopech's reasons are, from maybe his wife's pregnant, that we've heard speculation, maybe it's part of the writing the struggles he's had with anxiety and depression. Maybe he doesn't feel right about where he is in the White Sox in his return to be a starter. So what do you know? What do you think, Lamond?
Yeah, no, yeah. There's been no word about the possibility of us talking to Michael anytime soon. But I figure at somewhere down the line we will have a chance to hear from Michael and get his take on the reasons behind his the decision that he's made. And like you said, like Aaron said, I mean, it's a personal decision. And each every player has that opportunity and have that option to say, hey, I'm going to wait until 2021 or I'm going to go ahead and go and give it a shot this season. So one way or the other, I don't think it's not a thing where you can kind of blame Michael, because there's so many things, there's so many uncertainties that are out there dealing with this, whether it's COVID or whether it's preparing for the upcoming season and filling it with a 3-week lead up that you have enough time to possibly do it. There's so many variables that go on into this 2020 season that you can't blame any player for wanting to opt on out given this current circumstances.
Hey, Lamont, so I know we've talked to the players. It's all been via Zoom. There's not you can't do and the great thing about covering baseball from both sides, I think, is that, the reporters, the beat reporters like you who are there every day, you get to build relationships with the players. You get to really know the ins and outs of what's going on in the club. And that's helpful to both sides, I think. But obviously, that's not going to be there this year. Everything is on a Zoom call. How weird is that for you, number one? And then how do you think that affects the coverage that our listeners and baseball fans will see of the game?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, it has been different for sure, particularly this is going to be my first full season covering the Sox. And so just getting there in spring training, it was very helpful, just kind of continuing to establish my relationship with the players in the clubhouse. And then just those little things, those little moments when you're in the clubhouse, having those opportunities, something might pop into my mind where it's like, oh, I want to ask Tim about something that I might have a story that's going to be due in 3 or 4 days or something like that. And then you can just go on up to him and have that sort of conversation and kind of build that relationship that way. And so not having that does definitely kind of influence or impact the way that we're going to be going out about things on a day-to-day basis. And then as far as just kind of, going forward, from the reader standpoint as well, I mean, the challenge, I guess, for us as writers has been to kind of present something that's going to be unique when all the quotes are going to be the same or when we're all watching the game from a similar vantage point, either if we're at the ballpark or watching on television, for some of these road trips. So it's going to be a unique challenge from the writer's standpoint and something that we're all going to have to kind of adapt to kind of on the fly.
We're talking with Lamont Pope of the Chicago Tribune, talking White Sox here. And the Sox, even without Kopech, the Sox had seemed to have the right mix of a good amount of pitching depth to be able to handle whatever innings you needed, whether it was Carlos Rodon as somebody to follow the opener or to be the opener, and then that whole mentality of we don't need 6 innings out of you today. We just need 3, and then we need 3 other guys, and then something like that. I don't know what talk has been that you take seriously, but it seems their depth allows them to go a lot of different ways. What have they said about that? What has Don Cooper said about the likelihood of different strategies?
Yeah, we're going to actually get the chance. Carlos is going to be one of the pitchers that's scheduled to pitch today as well. And so there we go. More talk about the inter-squad game. And we had the chance to talk to Carlos recently, and he acknowledged, I think, 90 of his 93 outings have been starts. But he acknowledged, that this year there might be a little bit of a different role for different tasks for different guys throughout the rotation. And so it's kind of figuring that on out on the fly and kind of learning as well, who might be a piggyback situation. It might be like you mentioned, an opener type of situation for some of these guys. And so just kind of seeing where the guys are at as far as, the work that they were able to do while baseball was on break. I think that's an important aspect of this as well. How much work and what type of work were the guys able to get on in while baseball was on break? Someone like Lucas, he went up to Sacramento and he was able to throw against guys. He invited Andrew Vaughn up, and so he was able to face him a few times as well. And so he was able to kind of get to the point where he's, I think, like now up and down three or 3.5 times. And so kind of gearing on up, trying to get in that position where on opening day or that first series you can go five or six innings. And so it sort of depends on how much work the guys were able to do and you know how effective that work was while baseball was away.
The nice thing about Lucas Lamont, and again, this is just from media observations via the workouts and via the Zoom calls with the guys, but certainly he seems to be building upon that leadership role he kind of started to take last year with the White Sox. And I mean, he is speaking as if he is kind of, staff ace material without being staff ace material. You kind of thought maybe a veteran guy like Dallas Keuchel, who was signed in the offseason, might do that, but it really is Lucas who is stepping up on that.
I definitely agree. And I think part of it is just the confidence that he was able to build in that bounce back season last year. And, here's someone who went to Houston, and shut down the Astros, went up to Minnesota, shut down the Twins. And so, not only that powerful month of May when he was named the AL Pitcher of the Month, but then able to, do it against some really tough competition throughout the season as well. And so I think that helped build the confidence and show that, coming off of that the down year in 2018, to have that ability to show that he was that type of pitcher that everyone sort of projected when he was drafted. And he mentioned it the other day, he wants to be the guy that gets the ball on opening day. He wants to be that thought of as that type of an ace. He also said that, in his mind, the team has four other aces that are following them. But I think Lucas has really taken that leadership role, and it's something he's embraced and something that he likes as long as one of those things with his challenge as well.
Well, that's good for him. That's Lamont Pope of the Chicago Tribune talking White Sox baseball here on The Score. Steve Rosenblum, Mike Esposito. And so for Lucas Giolito's life, and I wish we could make sure it's all so. I just wish they could complete a season. I don't think they will. But that whole idea of the game in Iowa, the Field of Dreams game.
Oh, man.
So it's not the Yankees, but it's going to be the Cardinals. And I thought they should go on with the Reds. I mean, if you're going to have Shoeless Joe and you're going to talk about guys banned from baseball, then make it White Sox-Reds. Do the 1919 mm-hmm. World Series again. Mm-hmm. Do it upright. But with it being the Cardinals, the idea that Lucas Giolito's dad basically had him go page by page of a Bob Gibson book talking about 68 when he had this phenomenal run. And I was there when Bob Gibson finally gave up a run as he was approaching Drysdale's record and he almost broke it in Dodger Stadium. But also, under the best possible circumstances of White Sox and Cardinals, which would mean not much, the idea of Giolito and Jack Flaherty,
indeed,
two high school teammates doing that. I love that idea, and that's my baseball dreaming, and that's me getting away from all of that. I have no idea if Giolito's commented on that at all. Will you be going to the Field of Dreams? If we're going to be talking about a baseball season, I want to talk about something as fantastical as that.
I mean, all those aspects are, you absolutely nailed them. And as far as, we haven't had the chance to ask Lucas about the possibility of, facing Jack in that game. But I kind of agree with you as well. I just really don't understand why they're holding it this season. I mean, I think part of the appeal for the town itself was to get all these people on in as well. It'd be, big economic boost for them. And so, So with the circumstances and the way things are right now, it's like, are you going to really have fans in the stands? Probably not. Or, what's it going to be like for August 13th? I think that, Major League Baseball might have been a little bit better off if postponing it for a year and then, still being able to build it on up. But now, the game's scheduled, so we're going to have to wait and see how it all matches on up. And, like you said, I know there's a big Cardinal fan base there in Iowa, but other than that, there's not, White Sox Cardinals, not much of an appeal from that standpoint.
Well, and Lamont, we've talked a little bit last hour about the testing and the effectiveness or lack of effectiveness of what MLB is doing so far. How do you feel when, again, your talks with the players via Zoom or text or whatever it is, how comfortable do you think the majority of these guys are with what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, so far, so good, I guess, from the White Sox standpoint, as far as just, you know, they haven't had any delays. They haven't had to postpone any practices from that standpoint. I think it's one of those things where the more you do it, the more kind of go through and that becomes part of the routine, the more comfortable everyone's going to be involved with it. But, I mean, it continues to be a little bit of a work in progress throughout Major League Baseball, and it's something that it can't be. I mean, it can't be one of those situations where you can't have hiccups, you can't have delays of that nature. I mean, this is the most important aspect. If you're going to try to pull off a 2020 season, is to make sure that the testing is there and the testing is accurate on a day-to-day basis. And so, you know, Major League Baseball has to make sure that they get their act together and get everything correct on a day-to-day basis. But like I said, so far from the White Sox perspective, you know, it's run pretty smoothly. They haven't had any sort of delays from that nature. And like I said, the guys are getting more comfortable in going on through the process time and time again. And I think that'll help kind of make things smooth, run a little more smoothly as things move forward as well.
We're talking with Lamont Pope of the Chicago Tribune, talking White Sox here on The Score. So with Yoan Moncada on the 10-day injured list for no reason given, so then we know the reason, and is it Andrew Vaughn to fill in? And is, if he has to be, could he be your starting third baseman if you're the White Sox? And what do you get with him based on what you've seen?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he had a fantastic spring. But, you know, it's one of those situations where, you know, I remember last year when Yoan went down with his injury, they had Ryan Goins sort of fill on in, and obviously Goins is not here this year. So in the two inter-squad games so far, you've had a variety of guys. You've had Garcia, Mercedes, Vaughn, as you mentioned, as well, and Danny Mendick. And so those four guys have been the guys that have had the starting opportunities in the two inter-squad games so far. So it's going to be interesting just to see what kind of direction the team wants to go in. Obviously, you're not going to, you know, it's impossible to replace an at-bat like Yoan's. And so if you're going to try to go for a little more offense, you know, obviously, you know, Andrew might be a guy that you give that opportunity to, or Yermin. He had, you know, he has a home run pop in his bat, or if you want to just go kind of, you know, Lurie is kind of that dependable guy that you kind of plug in all throughout the field. But what that does as well is, you know, if you move Lurie over to third base, then what do you do at second? As far as it, is it going to be Danny? Is it going to be Nick Madrigal stepping on in? So that kind of speaks to the larger point as far as depth, you know, for not only the White Sox, but throughout Major League Baseball, when you're dealing with trying to play baseball in a pandemic, you know, obviously we always talk about pitching depth and the importance of that. But when your roster, you know, start the season at least, it's a 30-man roster. You know, this is an opportunity where if there's someone that does test positive, or if there's some other sort of injury, you're going to really be testing your depth because you're in a position where you can't afford to have these, you know, have a slow start or have one of these lulls where you have these type of losing streaks because the season is so short.
Well, and I was going to ask you too, Lamont, about Nick Madrigal and what you thought with the expanded roster, if he's a guy that you thought would stick, or if they would try to, how they're going to try to manage him in this abnormal season. And I think you kind of just answered that. I think, you know, your Nick Madrigal appearances might be more so now with all the variables than you might have seen had it just been a regular season. Do you agree?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think it comes into play. I mean, and so you're trying to figure on out what's the best situation, because obviously when 2019 started or 2020 started, we, you know, the thought process was that you know, Nick was, you know, he was in the mix with Garcia and with Mendick for that second base starting spot, and I probably thought that along the lines that Lurie was going to be the opening day starting second baseman, and then Nick would eventually kind of work his way into that role. But you know, now we're in July, and now we're, you know, going to have the opportunity to just to see, and obviously with what's happening with Yoan, you know, how does the team kind of, what steps does the team make to kind of figure on out how they work the rotations on in, and how they figure on out how to incorporate all these guys into the lineup.
Lamont, before we let you go, I wanted to ask you in this unique environment, you're listening to baseball. And we saw Edwin Encarnacion's home run, and people scream, you know, players screaming, do the parrot, do it. So what else have you heard that we're likely to hear, that fans are likely to hear, games being, when the games are broadcast with no fans, just the dugouts? I don't know if they'll be on a delay or not. I knew there was some talk about that. But what have you been hearing that would be unfiltered, unexpurgated?
Yeah, no, it's going to be a very interesting situation for sure, because, you know, yesterday after Dallas Keuchel wrapped up his you know, his couple innings, he had the chance to chat with us, and he was saying how, you know, it's going to be interesting just to hear, you know, the opposing team guys chirping back and forth and things of that nature. You know, there really hasn't been a whole lot of that so far, you know, obviously, you know, between the teammates and things of that nature. But you know, it's just such a, I guess, strange theme for such a strange time, just kind of adapting and you know, from the brand standpoint, you know, the possibility of kind of listening on in and seeing, you know, just the little things, sort of like someone calling off another player for a fly ball or something like that. Just those little things that you kind of, you know, that you listen to or you see when you're like watching a little league game. You know, now you're getting to hear or see that at the big league level as well.
Wow. Little league parents at the big league level. I can't wait to see that. Super.
Let's hear them call those guys off. Yes.
That's right. Yeah. And thanks for your time, Lamon. We appreciate it.
No, sorry. Thanks, guys. Anytime.
Thanks,
Lamon. This is Lamon Pope with the Chicago Tribune, some White Sox. You know, talk some stuff about the Cubs. Tom Ricketts did an interview, and there's just some stuff going on there as David Ross turns Kyle Schwarber's position into probably the most celebrated dog park in the majors. So we'll
absolutely
get back to that. He's Mike Esposito. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome and welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Mike Esposito. Saturday suckage like it used to be. He's in. He is. We're all broadcasting live from the various Hyundai studios of our worlds, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealer. Espo's Hyundai studio is his basement. Door does not lock. There are three children running around, not to mention a lovely, adorable wife who might need hair dye at any moment.
And we also have, as I was reminded when the mailman walked by, a barking dog. So that is always thrown into the mix as well.
Oh, right. You guys should have heard on Thursday night when we had Nick Shepkowski and Jay Zawoski on with Joe for a segment about Notre Dame, and Shep's puppy was going crazy for, I'd say, about 5 minutes of the segment.
So we had Shepkowski, Zawoski, and Ostrowski.
In a segment produced by Staszynski.
All right.
We deemed it the most Polish segment in the history of the squad.
That is an extremely Polish segment right there.
Don't see how that gets outskied at any point anywhere.
I don't think so either.
All right, so who said this? Because we've been talking, we talked with Lamont Pope about what are you hearing on the field? Now that you can hear stuff on the field, there's no fans. We talked about Nick Markakis saying that he doesn't want to play baseball if there's no fans, because then it's not baseball to him. Who said this? Quote, I think it's going to play to our advantage. A lot of our games are pretty quiet in general. We're used to not having too many fans at the games. I know what the obvious joke is. It's not that.
No, I was going to go with, one of the Marlins, maybe?
Good idea. Wrong, but you got a wrong coast and wrong half of the United States. Okay, so is Matt Chapman of the Oakland A's.
Ah, yes.
Think it's going to play to their advantage.
That's right. That thing is empty all the time.
Yes, it is. So one of the things that the White Sox are doing, and they announced this week, we talked about this on this show, and Trash Panda will back me up on this. I mentioned that the Giants first conceived the idea that if you have a season ticket, you can then submit a photo, a blow-up photo, to be put where your seat is. And they're doing this in various incarnations around the world at different baseball leagues and footy leagues. Back in countries that actually have discipline, they've earned the right to have sports, unlike the United States. But the Giants came up with this idea, and we discussed the idea of the Cubs doing it, and my suggestion was, Espo, you as a former Cubs season ticket holder, you could have submitted pictures too. My suggestion was that Sammy Sosa buy 20 tickets, 20 season seats behind home plate, and just put his picture there so he finally gets welcomed back into Wrigley Field.
That would be the ultimate troll job, and I would, for one, be all for that. I would love to see it.
Well, the man who's got the final say on this was doing a question and answer with Len Casper and Jim Deshaies, and Tom Ricketts was asked about this idea, and the White Sox also, you can, for $49, you can do this. The money goes to the White Sox charities. You can submit a picture. They, of course, would have final say, but this is the idea. And Tom Ricketts was asked if, well, empty Wrigley Field might be going this way.
Some teams are considering the cardboard cutouts. Am I correct in saying that that's not really something you'd prefer to do at this point?
At the moment, we have no plans for that. I think it's pretty clever, and I appreciate it when, like, Dortmund, I think, was the first team to do it. But for us, we weren't sure it was the right look for us and for Wrigley, so we have no plans on doing that at the moment.
That was Tom Ricketts on the Open Concessions podcast with Len and JD. Tom Ricketts talking about that, and there are no plans because Sammy Sosa might buy season tickets. He might buy every ticket in the park, and then they'd have to put his face there. I'm convinced.
Well, the one thing, you know, I mean, I respect Sosa's desire to kind of make make amends, whatever you want to call it, with the Cubs.
He doesn't. He doesn't want to make amends.
No, but he wants
his ass kissed.
Right, he wants back in. And so forgive my phrasing, but you understand what I mean. I get why he wants to be welcomed back in, but it's like, dude, it's not hard. Do what you know you have to do, but he apparently is unwilling to do. And they'll welcome you back in. Everyone, this is an open secret here, my friend. You don't hit 60 home runs three seasons in a row. It has never happened in baseball before you, and it will never happen again. So I think we're all on to what happened there.
There
may be some clues.
Sosa seems to right. know.
There may be some clues there for us.
I don't see it happening, and Ricketts, and it's an unusual thing that this is what he's doing. But that's how I see Sosa gets back in. So John Lester, I saw this on Steve Greenberg's, he's of the Chicago Sun-Times, his Twitter feed, and John Lester was quoted as saying, "I told Rossi I'm hitting. If not, you're taking a pretty big force out of the game."
John Lester is not too shabby for a guy who played in the American League his whole career. He's not too shabby as a pitcher hitting.
Okay.
But with Schwarber.
Lester famously batted 0.0000, Mr. Blutarski, in 9 seasons in the American League. 36 at-bats, 0 hits. As a Cub, that has rocketed to 121. Now, here's the best part. If they're going to make stats for pitchers hitting, they're going to make all kinds of stats. He has an OPS.
An OPS.
An OPS plus. Now, an OPS plus is 100 is the average major leaguer, the way they figure it. On base plus slugging percentage. Park, it's adjusted for all kinds of things. OPS plus for John Lester, with 100 being the average hitter, is minus 6. I couldn't even get that out. It's cherry picking stats, I know, but that's what he's all about. He's even joking about it.
It's right out of the super fans Bears skit. Bears are going to beat John Lester 258 to -6.
To -6. There you go. So next year's schedule was released, Espo.
Okay.
The Cubs and Sox released their 2021 schedules.
Why?
I don't know. I guess they had to. I guess it's what they usually do in July. The Sox open at Joe Maddon's Angels, and the Cubs open at home against the Pirates. I don't want to be a Pirate. So we're at a point where 2020 hasn't seen a legitimate pitch. And I have to ask, is there anyone who believes...
But I don't want to be a Pirate!
No, see? You don't have to be, but you have to play them. So do you think the 2021 season will exist based on what you've seen? I mean, to me, the virus just keeps rolling along. I mean, you've got bad federal response, bad state response, bad human response to this thing in this country. And you've got so bad that you've got countries that were disciplined about it banning United States travel. I mean, and that's where you are with this. There's no vaccine. There's no treatment. You see in a lot of places a lack of respect for human life because you don't see... You know, people are refusing to mask up. It's like they think they need to carry a gun so they don't have to follow smart science. We're just... To quote Vincent Gardini and Bang the Drum Slowly, plumb dumb stupid. And here they are with the arrogance of, here's next year's schedule for you while we're at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. And you know what? The irony of all this, right, is that you had people claiming, you know, we can't shut down. We need to keep the economy going. Or let's reopen. We need to get the economy going. And I was reading something yesterday or 2 days ago, whatever it was, out of the Wall Street Journal about how the spike in cases and, you know, the fact that this isn't really even wave 2, this is still kind of wave 1.
Hello.
But how how all of this, you know, what's going on with the fact that we did not flatten it as we needed to is going to cause, you know, exponential economic damage, because everything eventually is going to, you're not going to be able to operate bars, restaurants, you know, a lot of the places that are reopening, we've already seen have closed again because they have to. And I don't see how professional sports is any different. Are you going to be comfortable? And I'm asking you this rhetorically, and I already know the answer. Are you going to be comfortable putting 40,000 people in Wrigley Field next April? Forget about what happens this season. If there's no resolution to this, I already know the answer to that.
Well, it's so, not whether we would people be comfortable there? The Cubs would be comfortable putting them there. The Cubs are already talking about bringing fans in after they said no fans this year. I don't know what their plan is. They're trying to work with the best possible knowledge. You've seen every state when they've reopened, and they've reopened to different degrees. The dumber states have now had to just, they've seen huge spikes, and they've had to rush to, like you said, okay, no more bars, no more this, no more that, mm-hmm. and there isn't. But it's something that, had you followed smart science instead of politicizing the whole thing, had you followed smart science, you might have been like the European countries that recognized it early, responded early, did not deny that it existed, and you had countries full of people wearing masks because that was the best protection against it. Not the only one, but that was the best. And now you can't even get Americans to agree on wearing masks. There was a Kevin Smith of the Rays was quoted as saying, and then I think The Athletic had this in talking about from Pennsylvania, where he's from. Obviously, the numbers are a lot worse in Florida. He's in Tampa. But I felt like you couldn't even walk outside without a mask at home, meaning Pennsylvania. And then here, meaning Florida, you go out without a mask, and we have guys getting called names and all of the above. So it's just a totally different feel around the country. Yep. A Rays teammate, he didn't name, said, was in a store shopping for food and was called a pansy. It's like, little do they know, I went, meaning he wore a mask. I went out briefly to pick up some takeout food, and I swear I got like a dozen eyeballs on me, looking at me like I'm the weird one walking in with a mask. Little do they know what's at stake for my life and my livelihood. It's just very immature, or whatever you want to call it, but it's just comical. All right, I don't think it's comical. I just think it's irresponsible. Yep. Anyways, nope. That's kind of where we are. I don't know how anybody completes a season. I think they all will start. But you can't get, I mean, do you think the NBA bubble's, it's not even a bubble, really. You got people coming in and out of there.
I honestly, and this is, you know, we're a sports station. We are dying to have sports, and, you know, we love to watch sports. I don't see it. I've said this for a bit of time here now, as this has continued, and especially if you've seen how this has progressed. I just don't see how we do it. We haven't solved the problem yet, but we want to proceed as if we have solved the problem. And I know, you know, we see some of the sports overseas being played, but they, I don't want to say they've solved the problem, but they're certainly doing a heck of a lot better at the problem than we are. And just as a very quick personal aside, in my, you know, my other job, my other life, I deal a lot with overseas, with Asian companies, with, you know, I have good friends who live in Taiwan and in Hong Kong and in China. And the first thing they said to me months ago is, you guys aren't wearing masks. Why aren't you wearing masks? And this is like March, right? Mm-hmm. Because they know, they've done this, you know, whether it was, I don't remember if it was SARS or whatever, but, you know, they immediately go to masks, and it's everybody. As soon as you step foot outside, you're wearing a mask. And that was, to me, one of the biggest eye openers, because we in the United States have not experienced this to this level before. I personally can't think of it. I mean, I think you have to go back 100 years till something like this was in the U.S. But it's certainly not, you know, let's put it this way, mask shaming is certainly not going to help us play football any sooner. Let's put it that way. It's going to be the reverse.
That's stupid. With texture 847, can the Cubs put cutouts of Eloy Jimenez and Dylan Cease in the stands?
Because I'm the beast.
I believe the two of them are there helping Jose Quintana dry his dishes that Jose is washing in his sink.
Oh, boy. This last thing we have. Saturday Suckage Hall of Fame. It's been a while since we inducted anybody. But, Espo, do you think that we need to immediately induct Craig Kimbrell? Or should we wait until he screws up in whatever the regular season is?
Oh, boy. I mean, he did have a very honorable or a dishonorable year last year, so he certainly has rocketed into contention. But, you know what? I think let's see how his first few outings go. But, I mean, you are the chairman of the Saturday Suckage Hall of Fame, so, you know, there is but one vote. This committee.
No, we will take all consideration. We'll take all arguments. There's not that there's a lot of ballots going around. Nobody wants to be associated with it. But
hold up, guys. I've been working this show for several months now. I have yet to hear of the Suckage Hall of Fame. So who else is in this Hall of Fame? I need to know immediately.
We had it in the encyclopedia. There was a
The encyclopedia.
Encyclopedia of Suck was in the. I guess it was a one-time update studio.
It was it, yes.
And we had listed we had some entries into the Saturday Suckage Hall of Fame, the Hall of Suck. So the Encyclopedia of Suck is there. I don't think anybody touched it or disturbed it. Maybe they thought there was. There was some transmittal device
during there. During the next break, I'm going to run into the update studio and look for it.
See if it's still there. What happened? It began because I wanted to print out some of the text messages, and so I thought I hit Control C, Control V, and I thought I hit just the highlighted what I wanted, and then I hit print, and I didn't realize I was printing out like. Days and days and days of text messages. There must have been, I don't know, 500 or 1,000 sheets.
What are you thinking?
Yes, with whirligigs on it and little gizmos and doodads and all sorts. And Justin Burnfield happened to be in at the time. And
that is outstanding.
Yes, and Justin Burfield was trying to explain to our audience why he couldn't hold his water. He was laughing hysterically as Zach Withers kept bringing in, okay, here's more, okay, here's more, okay, here's more. So that's the paper we were using to inscribe the Encyclopedia of Suck, which included, I think, some inductees. So do you have people you would like to nominate for induction into the Saturday Suckage Hall of Fame?
Me? Not right now, because I didn't know this existed, so I got to think on it.
Okay, you think on it.
Yeah, and at last
you
check,
think
Steve,
on it, Trash Panda. Yeah.
At last check, because I believe I did the last update shift that we had back on Friday, March 13th. That was the last day we had
the
updates.
Friday the 13th, huh?
I remember the date because it was Friday the 13th, but that was the day that the state of Illinois the country, I think, that was the date everyone went into lockdown. It was right after everyone started canceling their seasons. It was right after Rudy Gobert's positive test made the NBA shut down, or the NBA was led to then shut down. But the Encyclopedia of Suck was still, the last time I was in the update studio, it was still there on top of the filing cabinets. In the update studio. So I hope it has survived quarantine.
Well, let's take a break so our Trash Panda can go on his Suck scavenger hunt and see what he can see, and he'll report back. And we will, Espo, we will do What Are You Doing, Wagner, at the top of the hour with a regularly scheduled Trash Panda report. We'll do that. Take a break now. We come back and we'll. Pat Mahomes signed a contract. Always news when you're a Bears fan. We'll talk about that next. He's Mike Esposito. I'm Steve Rosenblum. It's Saturday Suckage. We're at the home of the Saturday Suckage Hall of Fame, much to everyone's surprise. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Probably at least a month ago. I mean, maybe even longer than that. I mean, it was something that I had a very open mind going into contract negotiations. I mean, obviously, I knew I wanted to be a part of something great. I obviously wanted to be a part of having great players around me, but I also wanted the financial security to be able to take care of my grandkids. And I felt like with this contract, I can do all those things. And obviously, you don't know what the future entails. I mean, I've seen you get the salary cap could spike up, or be in a situation that we're in right now, which hopefully won't happen, where it could go down. And just to have the security of knowing where I'm at and knowing that I always have a great football team around me was something that I thought was too good to pass up on.
That is Bears quarterback Pat Mahomes. Oh, no.
Oh, don't torture us.
That is Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
The quarterback, Ryan Pace, one of two quarterbacks Ryan Pace could choose when they trade him. Doe. Yeah, it's Go Bears sounds a lot like Doe.
Kutch.
Go Bears!
Kutch.
Yeah. So he signed a contract worth in excess of $500 million. And one of the key parts of that deal is the reason it jumped so high is he gets $100 every time someone asks, how come Ryan Pace hasn't been fired? So you can see how that would add up when you have the Bears general manager, unbelievably still employed, trading up to select the absolute wrong quarterback among the top three in that draft. That is just a heaping helping of stupid. And if it helps Trash Panda, Adam Studzinski, our producer, that would be a Saturday Suckage Hall of Fame entrant right there, Ryan Pace.
I'm going to start writing these down now. I feel it's my responsibility as the show's producer to keep track of these kinds of things. And if I had been told that this was something I needed to look out for, I would have done so.
Well, we'd have to include Ryan Pace. We would have to because I saw a graphic. It must have been the day of the contract because it was, you know, all Mahomes all the time that day. One of the CBS sports writers had penned a column about top quarterbacks in the NFL. And as you might have imagined, Mahomes, with an MVP and a Super Bowl title this year, was number one. Also in the group were surefire Hall of Famers Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees. Russell Wilson, well, I'll put in the Hall of Fame as well. And your other guy in the top five of this particular list was Deshaun Watson. So, yeah, the two guys that we could have had ahead of Mitch and then three Hall of Famers.
Although okay. I saw that list, Espo, and I would contend that Watson was a little too high. I would put him a few spots down. Still top 10. Don't get me wrong.
But I just – and so this is –
I know the point you're making, though.
Right. This is the unfortunate reality. Lord knows we've talked about this over the Mitch era here. Can we call it an era? Anytime I see anything related to either Mahomes or Watson in this particular story, it was literally a top five list, and the two of them were in there, of best quarterbacks in the league, my brain immediately goes to the Bears. And it's not going to change. Right.
No.
That will never change.
It will. Now it was said at the time when that deal was when Ryan Pace made that trade, and he trades up and he selects Mitch Trubisky, everybody who was around who covered Dave Wannstedt when they made the move for Rick Meyer said,
"Oh boy,
this is it. This ties you to. As soon as Meyer fails, Wannstedt's fired. Bang, that was it. It happened. See you later." How Ryan Pace still has a job is just a testament. And testimony to the incompetence of George McCaskey and Ted Phillips. And you can give me the argument that Ryan Pace has done a wonderful job building this defense, signing and drafting, and you're right. He has. And what has that defense won for you when he screwed up the one decision he has made at the most important position? And you know, it's not just one decision. You have a track record of him screwing up every quarterback decision.
Yep.
He kept Cutler around. He signed Glennon. He traded up for Trubisky. Look at that mess. And where are you? You're trading away draft capital for Nick Foles after trading serious draft capital so Foles can compete with a serious draft capital you traded away for Trubisky. And you got a coach who doesn't know how to use Trubisky. Tried to make him a pocket quarterback. Why? It's not what he does. Don't you know who you're watching? And, you know, the signing of Cam Newton by Bill Belichick really drives home the point that and the recent passing of Don Shula. Bum Phillips famously said of Shula, he can take his'n and beat your'n, he can take your'n and beat his'n. Right? Yep. That's what he said about Shula. And Belichick's the same thing to a greater degree, because you have every reason to believe that Belichick will take whatever quarterback he's got and make it work. Nagy can only take a specific kind of quarterback, and it's not working. It didn't work. It's just, it just shows, you know, I'm not saying Nagy was going to be Shula, Nagy was going to be Belichick, but you're playing in a league with Belichick. That's the gold standard, to show zero flexibility, to show time and again he didn't know the players he was watching or the game he was watching. It's such an indictment, and it's part of a systemic bit of incompetence in that organization.
Yeah, two thoughts on that. One, you know, 2 years ago when the Bears won the division and they were, you know, the darlings of football and Nagy was coach of the year, I think people at that time still held out hope that, hey, listen, Trubisky is in year two as a full-time starter. Let's see his growth. He's shown some flashes, whatever. Last year was a total regression. I don't care how you look at it. And there's no way not to look at it as a regression. Otherwise, certainly Nick Foles would not be here. So that's point one. And point two, to your point about Bill Belichick or whether it's Sean Payton or whatever, people talked about the Mahomes contract and everyone's focusing on the dollars. To me, it's like, you know what? I don't care the dollars. You know the quarterback dollars are going to be silliness. They're all silliness for every quarterback in the league. Even, you know, starter number 32 probably makes silly money. I mean, in this case, you know, Cam Newton signed for $1 million, whatever it is. But you get my drift. The point is, you know Pat Mahomes is a generational player. You know, at the very least, he's a Pro Bowl quarterback. So you sign him and you ensure stability on that team. Unless he gets hurt, and we saw this with Brady and the Patriots, unless he gets hurt, and even Brady, when he got hurt, New England still almost made the playoffs with Matt Cassel, I believe, was the quarterback that year. You're going to be good every year, and that is where, to your Ryan Pace criticism, at the most important position, the one position that really controls and really drives your long-term success, you're 0-3.
And you still have a job. Three strikes, you're out. You still have a job. Because,
guys, real quick, I wanted to go back
because
to...
Bears. Yeah.
Bears. I wanted to go back real quick to that. Rosie, you mentioned a couple minutes ago about, you know, he kept Cutler around that 1 year. The argument could be made he should have signed Cutler to another contract. Because wouldn't you rather have Cutler now, even 4 years older?
No. Why not? I already know he's not going to win. I know that Jay Cutler's best season was mediocre in the NFL.
Jay Cutler would have thrived in this system, Rosie.
Jay Cutler's best season was mediocre in the NFL.
Cares.
Anyway, I digress. We got to break, guys.
I just gave you a Jay Cutler who cares. And we have to break. Okay. Who cares?
We get cares. All right, we'll break. We will come back with what are you doing, Wagner? And we'll have an update on the Trash Pandas motor vehicle issues and now his scavenger hunt for the Encyclopedia of Suck and other things. So we'll do that. And also next hour, Steve Stone stopped by the Score and was enlightening as always. We'll bring that to you. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Who cares?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.